WTAW News Time is 8:07. It's 74 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by Merry Maids. Call 979-595-1111 or go to merrymaids.com. Merry Maids, relax. It's done. Good morning. I'm Kat McMullen. Two major ceremonies in the Twin Cities were held yesterday.
Groundbreaking took place on the site of the $150 million, 700,000-square-foot Axis Pipe and Tube plant in North Bryan. An unexpected speaker was the matriarch of Axis parent company Prolamza. Daughter Irma Garza translated for her mother, Irma Montemayor.
She feels very, very proud about this project because she started working along with her dad when she was 14 years old. And, well, it's been 70 years now, so for her, this moment is really exciting.
Brazos County Judge Joanne Peters is among the government and business officials involved in the project.
I'd like to thank the Garza family and Prolamza for making the decision to call Brazos County home. We're honored. Muchas gracias. Ms. Irma, Jose, and Jorge, we welcome you into our family. God bless you and your new home.
285 employees will be generating 300,000 tons of product for the oil and gas industry when the plant opens next year. Later in the day on the A&M campus, a customized poster board was used for the ceremonial signing of contracts committing future hotel occupancy tax money to the Kyle Field redevelopment project. Chancellor John Sharp proclaimed the interlocal agreement combined town and gown, the cities and county with the university. Chairman of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, Hunter Goodwin, says it took a lot of courage and leadership.
And to go in uncharted waters and to take on a plan that at first blush sounded crazy and disillusioned, but it was just an all-out effort and a true collaboration on a lot of different people's part.
Multiple speakers credited Frank Simpson, who was in his first month as College Station's city manager when he unexpectedly died of a heart attack, as the catalyst. His wife, Kelly, attended the presentation. Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620 WTAW.
A head-on collision in Bryan last night put seven people in the hospital. Bryan police say around 8:30, a van with one adult and four children was headed south on Finfeather near Dodge when it allegedly crossed over the center line and struck a work van carrying two adults. All seven people were transported to St. Joseph's Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Police are continuing to investigate. There was a natural gas leak on the A&M campus yesterday afternoon. Chase Murphy at Atmos Energy says a contractor hit a gas line near the bell tower.
It really points to the absolute necessity not only of contractors, but anyone who plans to do any type of digging, whether it's in your yard or wherever, to call 811 because you just never know what's underneath.
According to A&M's Code Maroon Alert System, traffic was blocked at the intersections of Welborn and George Bush and Welborn and University for almost 2 hours. The Interdisciplinary Life Sciences building was evacuated, and those in other nearby buildings were told not to leave. Also, transportation service buses were stopped. A week away from the A&M home football opener, the College Station City Council has approved game day parking at Taro Park. Parks and Recreation Director David Schmidt says that will include self-contained RVs in the parking lot of the Wayne Smith ball fields.
It's concrete. It has good drainage. So if we have that type of surface out there, it's a whole lot easier for us to have larger vehicles out there. The thought behind even doing this is to allow those visitors that are coming for the games to have a place where they can park their larger vehicles.
Schmidt says Wolfpen Creek Park was also considered, but won't happen due to the threat of damaging the grounds, along with reservations from the city's risk management and legal departments. The author of a New York Times bestseller returns home tonight. Matthew Berry, a 1988 graduate of Consolidated High School, whose father Len is an A&M professor and his mother Nancy is College Station's mayor, makes a local stop promoting his book about fantasy sports. Tonight's book signing starts at 7 at Barnes & Noble. Barry, who's ESPN's senior fantasy sports analyst, appears on the cable network's various cable and online channels. Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott does not expect a delay in primary elections next March. Abbott responded to challenges from the Obama administration and U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder to the state's voter ID law and its election maps.
You don't see the Obama administration go after banks by requiring a photo ID when racial minorities cash a check. You don't see the Obama administration crack down on the Democrat Party National Convention by requiring minorities to show a photo ID.
Holder had warned last month that the Justice Department would use remaining provisions of the Voting Rights Act to take action against states he considered had discriminatory voting laws. Political opponents of Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst are taking the incumbent to task after he called a North Texas police department to discuss the case of a relative who'd been arrested for shoplifting. Allen Police Sergeant John Felty says Dewhurst did not violate any policies.
I think he was more concerned at the moment about her than he was about career or politics or anything else. And you know what? I really credit him for that.
Dewhurst's relative spent the night in the Collin County Jail after her arrest, then was released the following day. And Senator Ted Cruz continues his statewide tour campaigning to defund Obamacare. In Austin, Cruz told reporters defunding Obamacare is now up to the people.
If this issue is decided by traditional Washington rules, we can't win the fight to defund Obamacare. I'm convinced there's a new paradigm in politics, that we have seen the rise of the grassroots.
Cruz also called for federal regulatory reforms, beginning with the Affordable Care Act. WTAW News Time is 8:13 at 74 degrees. This look at the news is brought to you by Mary Maids. We'll have more news for you at 8:30, or you can find it anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Kat McMullen for News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Howdy, Ags. During football season, let Mary Maids help you get ready for your weekend guests. Mary Maids is America's number one residential cleaning service and has been voted best of the Brazos for the last 6 years. They're committed to cleaning your house like it was their own. A thorough, customized cleaning from a team you can trust. Guaranteed. Your entire house will be spotless, then you can relax and enjoy the football game yourself. Call Mary Maids at 979-595-1111. That's 979-595-1111. Mary Maids. Relax. It's done.
Are you suffering with slow dial-up internet, or do you live outside the reach of DSL and cable internet? Great news! Starfire Satellite has your affordable high-speed solution. It's high-speed internet by satellite, and it's available where you live today. It doesn't use your phone line, so there are no missed calls or busy signals. Now you can download large files in minutes, not hours, and surf faster than you ever imagined. Prices start at $49.99, and your professional standard installation is free. It's a limited-time offer, so call Starfire at 776-2215. That's 776-2215 today.
Ed here from Starfire Satellite, your Dish Network authorized retailer, with an important message. For the most watched channels in America, you'll pay less with Dish Network, with prices starting at $19.99 a month for the first year. Plus, get HBO, Cinemax, and Stars free for 3 months. So for the best possible deal, call the satellite professionals at Starfire. The number is 776-2215. That's 776-2215. Watch more TV, pay less. Call Starfire today at 776-2215 for all the details.
News Talk 1620, WTAW's 813. Brazos Valley weather forecast. It's brought to you this morning by United Roofing and Sheet Metal, home of the Duralast roof system. World's best roof. Give them a call at 268-ROOF. Go to unitedroofingpros.com.
Through today, a mix of clouds and sun. There may be a few widely scattered showers and thunderstorms around, with high temperatures during this afternoon into the mid-90s. Now, there could be a thundershower in spots for a while this evening, otherwise becoming partly cloudy to clear overnight, mid-70s by morning. For Saturday, mostly to partly sunny, risk of scattered thunderstorms, high temperature low to mid-90s. And then during the day Sunday, a bit more cloud cover, scattered showers and thunderstorms, 85 to 90. I'm Gary Best, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
There you go. It's 8:13. Rookie Week continues on Jethro Trivia today. A guy named Tommy Wallace stops in. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you this morning?
Good. Superintendent of Bryan Schools. Now, we were just talking, Kat, before we started here, and we were talking about one of our other radio stations, Peace 107 down the hall, and he mentioned that, Dr. Wallace mentioned that he listens to Peace 107.
Well, thanks for listening, Dr. Wallace.
Oh, you're welcome. It's uplifting. It always gives you a smile on your face in the morning.
And he said, you know, and that Kat McMullen, who does the news, said that she's pretty interesting. I said, well, you'll be talking to her in just a minute. And I said, you know, you had kind of an interesting background. So a great opportunity for you right now, Kat, to tell Dr. Wallace and our audience, if there's one thing that would surprise us about you, what would it be?
I don't think they're really.
No, you surprise me every day.
That's what I'm saying. I'm so weird that no one would be surprised if I said I did something weird.
Well, Dr. Wallace might, because he doesn't hear you in our format. He hears you simply doing the news and laughing at Brian's silly jokes. So
I do like Brian's jokes.
Okay, so you might be able to tell Dr. Wallace something that would be,
I've got a brown spot in my eye. It's like a pie section of brown. I could have had two different colored eyes.
So that's your second reference to pie today, by the way.
I'm hungry.
Is that it?
Be kind to me. Okay. I fixed your darn toaster.
You did, as a matter of fact. But, you know, we have to also, we're going to have to find out about this, but apparently Katie down at Candy 95 got a new toaster.
Yes, I saw that.
I don't know what that's about. What is that about? Can you tell me what that's about?
No, but I can find out if we need to.
Is that, her special toaster?
We don't need to know right this minute. To know right this minute, but I would like to know. But anyway, we have more important things to do because we need to play Jethro Trivia.
Yes, sir, Rebob.
I'll let you know that your counterpart from College Station played on Monday for the first time, and then Greg Owens, Bryan City Council, played yesterday for the first time as well.
Okay.
So we'll add you for the trifecta. First, we'll take a phone call. Hello.
I just wanted to say I am bringing donuts. Please do not let Kat work on the toaster.
Okay, all right. I'll do that. Thank you.
Aww.
Well, no, she apparently...
I even got lemon-filled donuts for you, Kat. Please. I'll buy a new toaster.
I fixed it, Ben.
If you have to work on the toaster, at least turn the power off to the building.
There's nothing wrong with it.
It
had a button that someone had pressed. That was the warm button.
Yeah.
It wasn't broken.
It was operator error on Scott's
part.
Well,
not necessarily. Yeah. We won't say it was Scott.
Yeah.
Somebody.
Like that never happened,
pressed
right?
a warm button by mistake.
Okay. I have donuts. Please don't work on the toaster.
Thank you. All right. Drive carefully.
Ben
Bowser, general manager. All right. So anyway, so here we go. It's the Jethro Trivia. It's our oddly informative little news quiz that asks a simple question about pop culture, recent current events. It's fun to play. It's easy to win. Sometimes we have prizes. Okay. Now, what we'll do is, since you're the guest, you'll answer third.
Okay.
So, Kat, you'll answer first, and then Kevin, and then Dr. Wallace. A dentist who bought John Lennon's tooth at an auction now wants to do what with it? A, sell it to the tooth fairy and make a profit. Oh, no. Sell the tooth and make a profit, not to the tooth fairy. B, clone John Lennon. C, claim that there's an image of Jesus in it. Or D, sell it on eBay. Once again, a dentist has bought John Lennon's tooth at auction because he wants to A, sell the tooth and make a profit, B, clone John Lennon, C, claim there's an image of Jesus in it, or D, sell it on eBay. Kevin.
Kat goes first.
Oh, Kat.
Oh, I'll just
short-term memory.
With B, just for fun.
B, just what, clone John Lennon?
Yeah, why not?
All right, Kevin.
I would second that.
Okay, John Lennon, okay. Unanimity, or are you going to go out on your own?
You know, I'm going to go on my own because in schools we don't have finance, so I'm going to say sell it and make a profit.
Okay.
Let's find a way to do that.
Nice way to spin that one.
Well, actually, the answer is to clone John Lennon. Michael Zuck of Edmonton, Canada, plans to extract DNA from both the rotten tooth, because he's a Brit, which Lennon pulled out in the 1970s and bring back one of America's great rock stars. Yeah, well, we'll see how that works.
Well, he's not going to clone Yoko Ono, too, is he?
No, I hope not. Okay.
She's still alive.
Yeah, that's for sure. So anyway, all right, so we got that done. Dr. Wallace, thank you for playing.
Hey, thank you.
We'll look forward to having you come back and do that next time. Okay, now let's move on because, hey, Monday, lots of boys and girls showing up all over town in Bryan, huh?
Yes, we're excited. 16,000 approximately will be coming in with smiling faces, and we're ready to get started.
Are they all going to have smiling faces?
Because
my thought is that they...
Well, I will tell you, let me back up. There's going to be 16,000... parents or students, parents, they're going to be smiling come Monday.
Okay.
How's that? We'll rephrase that a little
that's
bit.
That's probably right. Entering your third year now, obviously you came in, you had to do some evaluation, but you also probably saw some areas that you wanted to address. What were the most important things for you to address, and how do you feel like you've done with them?
Well, I think when we first came in, I said that I was going to help build relationships. Number two, look at the finance. We've worked a lot on the finance. And three, most importantly, look at our academic achievement and look where we were academically. I think that we have succeeded in those areas. I think that our area of academics have really improved a great deal. As you know, our accountability rating came in, and we didn't make it. We got not met standard was our label, and very frustrating. It's not acceptable to me. It's not acceptable to our school board, our community. But as we looked at those indexes, what you found is index one was the index that dealt with student achievement on the test and those what those students actually learned in the classroom and then performed upon. So when you look at that index, our children and our teachers did an absolutely amazing job. They did well on the test. The second index is in terms of academic growth. And when you look at academic growth, you see that our students and our teachers did exactly what they were supposed to in the classroom, and, man, we made the academic growth. The third index was the indicator that talked about a growth model, and that growth model was, again, our kids performed and increased like they were supposed to, and our teachers.
Now, those are lower-performing students, right, in that third category, is that
yes,
right?
What that, yes, sir. And so what you have is that growth model between our lowest and our top, and they did great. So what our teachers did and what we focused on that first 2 years was academic achievement. What we missed was the index four, and the index four is totally in our control as a district, and that was the fourth standard was the post-secondary readiness, or the high school. It's a high school only, and we missed it because we have a lack of accountability in our areas of data entry. And when we looked at that, we look and we say, wow.
What do you mean lack of accountability in data entry?
What we're doing, our policy, legal policy, says that before you can take a student off of the recommended plan. Now, the recommended plan for the listeners is that which anybody can, you have to be on that plan. That's like the default. And in order to go to the minimum plan, you have to have, by policy, you have to have a parent meeting with the principal, the counselor, and the student. And we did not do that in 11-12. Now, this indicator goes back to my first year. And that 11-12 year, we did not follow the district policy.
That is a basic policy.
That is a basic
policy.
How
does that happen?
We have a lack of accountability, lack of oversight.
This is their job.
That is their job. And we've got the safeguards put in place now. And this is not an index that Brian had. Since 1995, people know that you don't take students off of the recommended plan. And so what we've done is we've taken them off the recommended plan. We've investigated it. We've done an internal investigation. I've got a gentleman coming in today that's going to do a complete internal audit on all of our transcripts. These students in 11-12, which was 2 years ago, many of them were put on the minimum plan prior years. So we've got to fix that. And now we've gone back in our audit, and we have found that we had students that were coded incorrectly, that we have students that actually graduated on the recommended plan that were coded minimum plan. And so what happens now is we're going to appeal this decision. We feel like that we have a standard and a reasoning to appeal it. We feel like we're going to get it.
Well, to see how much it was not being done. Let's say that there were 27 students on a campus that needed to have this parent-teacher meeting. Did five of them have the meeting, or did none of them have the meeting? Or were we talking zero?
No, we're talking about 50%.
Okay.
Roughly 45 to 50%.
And who's the person on the campus who's supposed to plan that?
Well, that goes back to the campus administration at always. I mean,
the principal?
Well, the principal, the counselors, and all the way up to assistant superintendents. I mean, we're to follow policy. I mean, it's just that simple.
But in this particular case where they didn't follow the standard, where they didn't have the parent meeting, for instance, to put this child on that track, does that fall upon an assistant principal or a principal, or is there somebody who's really charged to do that on each campus?
Well, ultimately, it'll be the counseling, because the counselors are the ones that are going to see that ultimate plan. They're the ones that are going to have that default. Now, what I want to go back and also say is these plans were put in place before I got here, but it doesn't matter. That's not acceptable. What I want to say is that Bryan ISD previously had been dinged, if you will, for not having a higher graduation rate. And so what some of these principals were doing was looking at these students and saying, okay, and these counselors were going, okay, in years past, we had a lower graduation rate. And so we're going to make for sure that these students graduate. Mm. And so they had bumped them down to that minimum plan. Mm. And so it's just that ideal that we are trying to catch up instead of looking ahead. And so I don't think that any one counselor, I don't think that any one principal did anything maliciously. I don't think they did anything that would make them feel like they were breaking the law. I don't think they were looking out in their minds for the best interest of the children.
They
That's what we do.
They cooked the books. Is that about right?
Well, they did what they thought was best at the time.
Yeah. It doesn't mean it's right, though. Okay, so now, obviously, then you have things in place. And tell me what Absolutely. This auditor will do. What will this this person who's coming in to audit, what will they
do? The auditor will go in. He will look at each one of our students' folders, or their CUME folders. We'll look and make for sure that we have them on the right plans. We'll have training put in place for our counselors. In order to make for sure that they have the right training in order to put the students on the right plan, because you know with House Bill 5, we have a new thing called Foundation Plan with distinctions. And so we'll make for sure that we have all the training and possible for our counselors and for our administrators and teachers to ensure that they're on the right plan.
Dr. Tommy Wallace, the superintendent of Bryan, joining us today. One of the things that you'd said in response to this report from the TEA is that you have implemented what's called the Bryan model. Kind of give me an overview of what the Bryan model is.
The Bryan model, when you look, Bryan ISD is 75% economically disadvantaged. When we came in, we are 52% Hispanic, we are 22% Anglo, and we are 20% African-American, and the rest what they consider other,
okay,
mixed racial, whatever right. whatever they're coding.
Uh-huh.
When we came in the first year, we looked and we had just had to go through, the board had just gone through the process of eliminating some positions for the budget cuts that last biennium. So we had some areas that were cut that would have helped us out academically. So what we've done on this Bryan model is now we have given each one of our campuses instructional type coaches to help go through those classrooms, help our principals see what's going on in that classroom, and then give feedback and give instructional support to those teachers, because many of the schools in Bryan are a little bit smaller. We don't have just large elementary schools, and so the principal is really the only person on that campus for the past 2 years. And for them to do all the administrative work, the ARDS, the LPACs, for all those people in listening world right now, that just meetings to take care of issues that the state gives us, the federal reports and things. So we've given them that extra assistance now so people can get into the classroom, because what we're focused on in Bryan right now is academic achievement. Our board just got finished with our board goals. And through that, our board goal is, number one, you're going to, as a district, we're going to continue to focus on academic readiness for our children. And we are. And the past 2 years, we have done that. And the Eagle report that came out, it says we were misleading. Well, no, we weren't misleading. We were very upfront and open. Our new communication director, who's with us near, Brandon Webb, sent out a press release prior to the report even being sent out publicly, and said we did not meet the standard, but we did meet all the academic standards. And there are people out there that wrote, well, you're misleading. No, we're not misleading. We're taking this head on, and we're not making excuses for it, and we're going to fix it. But what we focused on the first 2 years, going back to your original question, is I focused in on academic achievement. And those goals have now been met, and we're not even close to where we want to be, but we're going to continue to focus on academic achievement.
How many coaches have you hired?
The coaches themselves, I don't know the actual number. Each school has a minimum of two. Depending on the economically disadvantaged ratio, we have a formula put in. Some have two, some have three. At the middle schools, they have three. So we have a minimum of two.
Let's talk a little bit. You mentioned House Bill 5. Obviously, not all of the funding came back, but quite a bit did. Tell me how that's going to impact BISD.
I think it's going to help us tremendously. We just adopted a balanced budget. I think that's great. You know, one of the things that we're most proud of, as I said, talking about building relationships, those relationships are not just those in Bryan, but there's those relationships in Austin. And this past year, I spent a great deal of time in Austin lobbying, talking to legislators. I testified for 9 hours on the school funding issue, and we got about $4.7 million this biennium. And I really feel like that legislators have listened. I think that this has probably been the best legislative biennium in terms of legislators and lawmakers listening to what we were actually saying. So we got about $4.7 million more, which helped us balance our budget. And so I think that financially, Brian has done well, but I think House Bill 5 and some of those things are going to require some additional resources, and we were allowed to do some of those with that $4.3 million.
Politics always has to play a part in everything. C-Scope is something we're hearing a lot of politicians talk about now. And is C-Scope used in BISD? First, give us an overview of what C-Scope is, and then is that used in BISD?
Well, the C-Scope is a curriculum document, a curriculum program, if you will, that many smaller school districts use, and there are a few larger districts that use it. I will tell you that, number one, we don't use C-Scope. But C-Scope is not a bad curriculum. C-Scope is not a bad, it's not something that's evil. It's not something that is out there. When you look at the lessons and you look at the TEKS that the state of Texas have given us, those things that C-Scope has required us, or excuse me, that the TEKS have required us to do, C-Scope has addressed. I've looked at some of the lessons. I don't see that there's anything wrong with it. I think that C-Scope is a really good thing for some smaller districts that don't have that curriculum support staff in their district. So I think that it's gotten blown out of proportion. I think it's actually, I've talked to superintendents that have it, looked at it, and I think that's turned into one of those little witch hunts, personally, that I don't think it's all has merit. I think there's some lessons in there that maybe could be tweaked, but out of the, my gosh, 15,000-16,000 lessons in that entire C-Scope curriculum, there might be two or three that may be inappropriate, that maybe need to be looked at and reviewed. But as far as saying the entire C-Scope is something that's evil, I disagree with that. And you talk to auditors, mm-hmm. and they will tell you that if C-Scope, the auditors I've spoken to and the auditors that these other superintendents have talked to, have all said that if everything was aligned like C-Scope, your curriculum would be pretty much aligned. So we don't use it. Our curriculum's aligned, but this is what some superintendents have told me. I don't think it's quite as bad for smaller school districts. Yeah.
Brian, ISD Superintendent Dr. Tommy Wallace with us. Before coming here, you had a reputation that you could get bond issues passed. and it sure looks like Brian needs some. Report that you've gotten, these are pretty significant numbers, because I mean we got $78 million that I believe the architectural firm said are must do.
Yes.
$146 million that should do.
Right.
Obviously we didn't get into that situation overnight.
That's correct.
And we're not going to be able to solve it overnight.
You're right.
So tell me what you think the best way to address those needs are.
Well, first off, when you look at the architectural review that we received, I don't know how many pages that is. That must got to be at least 20,000 pages. It's huge.
They said it was 6 inches thick. I know, and Bill said he didn't get a copy of it because there weren't very many extras. That's
no,
for sure.
And we'll be happy. I think Bill actually asked if there was one online, and we'll give you an online
okay.
version. But you know, what's happening, Brian, is we have, because of financial implications, historically we have had to go and buy buses, or we have had to go and do this or that for an instructional side. Some of our facilities are aging. Some of our facilities are probably not where they need to be as far as the standard goes. Stephen F. Austin Middle School is old, and it's got close to 900 kids in it, and the hallways are narrow. And so we've got several things. But what we're going to do to address this first is we are going to use additional monies. We have $1 million set aside this school year for capital projects. The monies that we saved last year, we put into capital projects. We want to show the taxpayers, we want to show the community leaders that, first off, we're going to do all we can do with the resources that we have currently before we go to the voters. We've got to look in and look at ourselves. We've taken the time to do this project and do it right with the architectural firm we've hired. And now we've got to go through, I've got a meeting today, and we're fixing to prioritize ourselves as a group, what that looks like. So the next step, though, is going to be to form a facilities committee that's set up as a cross-section of all of our community members, leaders, parents, teachers, and just talk to them and say, okay, here's the report. Now, We're not going to go through every page, of course. It'd take us 10 years. But we're going to have an overview of what that is, and the document will be there for anybody to look at. Literally, we are going to put that on our website, if we can download that much onto our website, so people can see it. I mean, we need to be transparent. We need to make for sure that people see what the architectural firm has suggested that we do. Those major projects, major number one, what they categorize as number one, are safety issues. We know we've got some facilities that have so many exterior doors, Bryan High School being one of them, Stephen F. Austin being another one, where doors are just, they're everywhere, and we kind of piecemeal together that high school. And so we've got to look at those priority one, which are safety issues, which is our number one issue, be safety.
Sure. And I don't know, how many bites is it going to take to eat this elephant, I guess?
Well, it's several bites. Yeah. The total number of the total projects, if you did everything that was found, I think is in upwards of over $300 million.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way we can get all that done. But there's some index, or there's some fours in there too, that are 10 to 15 year projects. And so that's if everything was done immediately. And nothing will be done immediately. All those, there's no way, except those number ones. Those are the safety issues. But threes and fours are 5, 10, 15 years down the road. They're telling us that you've got aging chillers, you've got aging roofs. In the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to have to put another roof on Campus X.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a long ways to go.
So we sit here. This is October of 13. When would you realistically see the first time that we might see some sort of a bond question for BISD on a ballot for the people?
Sure. It's too far down the road to even tell. Because first of all, you want that facilities committee to see it. You want to hear what the people have to say. You want to hear what that group, what they come up with. The way it's set up is this facilities committee will look, make suggestions, and then they will present their findings to the Board of Trustees, and then we go from there. So it's way too early to see at this point.
Well, but we got some leaking roofs.
We do. I mean, well, for instance, this year we have put two roofs. We put one on Sam Houston, and we put one on Mary Branch. They both need it. So we've got two brand new roofs. And like I said, we've got $1 million set aside. If it's a roof, $1 million will cover a roof. And then we put some other capital projects. We've moved a program, Hammond Oliver, to Bryan High School. We've renovated that area. So we've got some renovations going on. But right now, we're doing it ourselves. And right now, we're in the very beginning processes of this whole stage.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think there's a light at the end of the tunnel because tax values are going up. The city is growing. I mean, we have two cities that are growing in a very vibrant way right now. And obviously, we need that because you probably will need to get some new facilities online. I mean, some new slabs poured and things like that in the not-too-distant future.
Well, I think we've just finished our demographic study. We just rezoned for the high schools. Our next step will be to look. One of the things that the architects did was look at capacity of each school. And you've got some schools that are over capacity. You've got some that are under capacity. I think when those lines were drawn for elementary schools, I think they were drawn for a reason. But I think that you've seen a population shift over the years, and so now you've got some schools that have portables, and while some of the other ones aren't quite full yet. So we've got to look at that first and try to get kids out of portable buildings.
What's a number that you like for middle school and elementary? What kind of number?
Oh, I think if you get anything above 1,000 middle school, I think you're getting a little too big.
Mm-hmm.
I think that research shows and that smaller learning communities helps with relationship building and academics, and so I think if you get over 1,000, I think that you're getting pretty large.
Okay.
That's a lot for a bunch of middle schoolers. 1,000 is a lot.
That so is. That's a,
anywhere
that's a
from 800. I would say anywhere from 800 to 1,000 would be optimal.
Okay. Dr. Tommy Wallace is the superintendent of Bryan Independent Schools. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me this morning. And tell Kat McMullen, you know, it sounds like she's the one that gets the brunt of the jokes. Tell her we're behind her. We're behind her 100%.
Well, thank you.
And Kat, I've got to tell you that when you laugh while ago about the jokes, the way you just kind of did the aha. I do the same thing on those jokes, but they still put a smile on your face.
They sure do. They make my day a lot more cheerful.
Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Our community segment is brought to you this morning by Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Company, serving your insurance needs since 1936 with honesty and integrity.
Haven't heard from your insurance agent in a while? Don't know who to contact to get answers to your questions about coverage? At Van Dyke Rankin, they realize there are a lot of unanswered questions you might have with your current coverage, particularly healthcare coverage. Look them up. They'll calm your fears and make sure you know what you have and with whom. home. Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Company. Honesty, integrity, doing it right. Serving the greater Brazos Valley area and beyond since 1936. That's VANDYKERANKIN.com.
WTAW News Time is 8:38. It's 76 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Good morning, I'm Kat McMullen. Two major presentations affecting the Twin Cities were held yesterday.
Those responsible for sending future hotel occupancy tax money to the Caulfield Redevelopment Project were at the Zone Club. They signed a customized poster board showing the Memorandum of Understanding. A&M Chancellor John Sharp, A&M System Chancellor. Those responsible for sending future hotel occupancy tax money to the Caulfield Redevelopment Project are at the Zone Club. They signed a customized poster board showing the Memorandum of Understanding. A&M System Chancellor John Sharp was among the speakers.
This agreement is a lasting sign of something very different, and that is that this university and this county and these two cities, great cities, are going to work closer together than they ever have before.
Sharp was the first to thank the late Frank Simpson, who was in his first month as College Station city manager when he unexpectedly died. Simpson was also remembered by Mayor Nancy Berry.
He was a proud and loyal Aggie, and I'm sure he's smiling down on us right now. I'm not sure anyone was more excited about this project than Frank.
Earlier in the day was the groundbreaking of the Axis Pipe and Tube Plant in North Bryan. Among the speakers were five members of the third-generation family-owned business, including President Paco Garza.
A year ago, this plant was only a dream. Today, we're taking a major step in making it a reality.
Garza's mother, considered the matriarch of the Mexican-based corporation, was recognized by Mayor Jason Bayinski.
You and your family are joining the City of Bryan family today as one, in faith and love for the greater good of your business and the greater good of the Bryan community.
285 employees will be generating 300,000 tons of product for the oil and gas industry when the $150 million plant covering 700,000 square feet opens next year. Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620 WTAW.
RV parking at Wolf Pen Creek Park in College Station was considered for Aggie Home football weekends. The city council was told last night it wasn't going to happen after a recent study. Parks and Recreation Director David Schmitz says not having a paved surface was among the reasons.
We'd have to bring in maybe millings and things like that to allow us to be able to have a surface that can handle larger vehicles if it rains, and that was a real concern. We also had concerns about the overnight there and outside fires and just control and all of that.
Self-contained RVs can use the parking lot of the Wayne Smith Ball Fields at Tarot Park. Police Chief Jeff Capps says there will be a patrol presence. Nearly 2 weeks after a nationwide campaign to call before you dig, a natural gas line was hit near the A&M Bell Tower. Chase Murphy at Atmos Energy says to call 811 at least two business days before starting your project.
Especially this day and time because of the tendency to see so many utilities going underground. Now you have underground cable, phone lines, and even electrical utility lines, and that's the going thing. There's only a limited amount of space for all of that to go into.
Murphy says a contractor hit the gas line, disrupting activities on and off campus for nearly 2 hours yesterday afternoon. The Interdisciplinary Life Sciences building was evacuated, and those in nearby buildings were told to stay in place. On-campus buses were stopped, and traffic was blocked on Welburn at University and at George Bush. The cause is yet to be determined for a head-on collision last night that put three adults and four children into the hospital. Police say around 8:30, a van with one adult and four children was going south on Finfeather near Dodge when it crossed the center line and hit a work van with two adults head-on. All suffered non-life-threatening injuries and were taken to St. Joseph's. Debuting at number 5 last week on the New York Times bestseller list, the author of a book about fantasy sports is in town tonight for a book signing. It's a homecoming for Matthew Berry, whose mother is College Station's mayor and father is a professor at A&M's Mays Business School. The author, a graduate of Consolidated High School, now works as the senior fantasy sports analyst at ESPN. The writer of Fantasy Life will be at Barnes & Noble starting at 7. The chairman of the Texas House Appropriations Committee is retiring. Representative Jim Pitts of Waxahachie has served as the chief budget writer in the House five times since 2003. Pitts, who was first elected to the House in 1993, has come under criticism by Tea Party supporters who believe he is too moderate. Political opponents of Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst are blasting his effort to free a jailed relative following an arrest of shoplifting. A spokesman says Dewhurst acted as a concerned family member. Dewhurst told the police office to follow procedure. But Republican rivals Dan Patrick and Todd Staples, along with the Texas Democratic Party, say Dewhurst abused his power. Senator Ted Cruz took a break last night from his defund Obamacare tour for a Republican Party fundraiser in Waco to help victims of the West Fertilizer Plant explosion. Cruz says it will take a grassroots effort to end the Affordable Health Care Act.
The only way that will happen is if millions and millions of Americans go to don'tfundit.com, sign the national petition, call their senators, call their representatives, and hold our elected officials accountable.
Cruz says it's a battle that can't be won through traditional Washington rules. And Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott fires back at U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder for legal challenges to the state's voter ID law and its redistricted maps.
Eric Holder is wrong to mess with Texas.
General Abbott accuses Holder and the Obama administration of using voter ID and redistricting to play party politics with Texas.
Not helping minority voters, but instead helping the Democrat Party win elections in 2014.
Abbott doesn't expect the legal challenges to lead to a delay in the March primaries. WTAW News Time is 8:47. It's 76 degrees. We'll have more news for you at noon, or you can find it anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Kat McMullen for News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Are you suffering with slow dial-up internet, or do you live outside the reach of DSL and cable internet? Great news! Starfire Satellite has your affordable high-speed solution. It's high-speed internet by satellite, and it's available where you live today. It doesn't use your phone line, so there are no missed calls or busy signals. Now you can download large files in minutes, not hours, and surf faster than you ever imagined. Prices start at $49.99, and your professional standard installation is free. It's a limited-time offer, so call Starfire at 776-2215. That's 776-2215 today.
Ed here from Starfire Satellite, your Dish Network authorized retailer, with an important message. For the most watched channels in America, you'll pay less with Dish Network, with prices starting at $19.99 a month for the first year. Plus, get HBO, Cinemax, and Stars free for 3 months. So for the best possible deal, call the satellite professionals at Starfire. The number is 776-2215. That's 776-2215. Watch more TV, pay less. Call Starfire today at 776-2215. Five for all the details.
It's almost Labor Day, and there's never been a better time for you to grab your favorite camper and make a memory that's going to last for a lifetime. At RV Station in Bryan, the promise to you is the best prices in the country on the country's best brands. You owe it to yourself to shop the pre-Labor Day specials at RV Station in Bryan. Right now, you can get a brand new 2013 Puma 28 BHS. This bunkhouse sleeps eight with a slider. And the pre-Labor Day sale price is $16,995. Stock number is 1546. Or how about a 2013 Forest River 2702 SS? It's super light, half ton, it's towable, saves gas, and it's just $23,995 at the pre-Labor Day sale. Stock number is 1558. Save thousands on RV Station's Bryan pre-Labor Day sale. That's RV Station. They're located at 2815 North Earl Rudder Freeway in Bryan, or you can shop them online at rvstationonline.com.
What do you know about long-term care insurance? Find out in the upcoming winter issue of Brassus Wellness Magazine. Brassus Wellness is a local health and wellness publication filled exclusively with local articles from local experts. Articles about breast cancer awareness, mental health, and senior wellness are also in this issue. To advertise your business in Brassus Wellness Magazine, call Sam Jones at 695-9595 or email sam at bryanbroadcasting.com.
Stocks may be headed for a higher start. This is the Dow Jones Money Report. I'm Jeff Bellinger. Wall Street is coming off an up session, and trading could be cautious today. The futures are pointing a little higher at the moment. Some earnings reports will get investors' attention. Gap and Foot Locker did well. Aeropostale posted a loss and said it now plans to close as many as 40 stores this year. The coupon site RetailMeNot posted a smaller profit. The government's monthly report on sales of newly built homes could have an impact on the markets. It comes out shortly after trading begins. And investors will be monitoring coverage of the Federal Reserve Conference in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. The Commodity Futures Trading Commission is working on rules to tame computer trading, which can contribute to disruptions like yesterday's NASDAQ breakdown and the flash crash of 2010. The SEC and other regulators are also scrutinizing high-speed trading. And two longtime rivals in the online travel business have buried the hatchet as Travelocity teams up with Expedia. Jeff Bellinger, Dow Jones Money Report.
I know my business, but I don't know much about creating a website.
Who has the time to create their own website?
I always thought a website would cost a lot of money. Then I discovered Wix.com.
Wix.com was the perfect solution.
It's so easy. You choose a beautiful design, write what you want to say, and move your images where you want them. No coding, no confusion.
And the best part is that Wix.com is absolutely free.
No matter what size your business, people don't take you seriously unless you have a professional-looking website. Create your own stunning website for free at Wix.com. That's Wix.com.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour free trial. Just call 800-601-7780. 800-601-7780. 800-601-7780.
The Dow Jones Money Report is brought to you by ABC Home and Commercial Services, specialists for your environment. Visit abchomeandcommercialservices.com. It's 10 till News Talk 1620 WTAW. All right. I think we have a little bit of radio show left.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I was disappointed in myself.
Just a minute. Put your headphones on so you can listen to Miss McMullen. You know, because Dr. Wallace was...
Does Miss McMullen have a... position that she's taking. Look, I brought the woman lemon-filled donuts.
Sure appreciate it.
She was, you know,
that sucker down.
What was so funny, and she's been in this need for comfort food today.
Yeah.
And if you could have heard the first 5 minutes, 10 minutes of the show,
I would have been up at 6 o'clock.
That's right.
That's
and you
wrong.
Don't do that. And she was upset, and she was saying, "If we could just, why couldn't we all just sit down and eat some pie?"
Well, I didn't say it exactly. I need to eat some pie.
And I said, well, that sounds good because...
I like pie. You like pie, too?
See, and then that really sent her off because she doesn't want to have pie with him.
Oh.
Excuse me. Am I wrong?
So what particular kind of pie would it take to just sort of meet your needs today, Catherine?
Any pie.
No, Catherine. What kind of pie?
I'm hungrier for chicken pie than anything else.
You're not getting that. Okay.
Okay, let's
chicken
that off the
pie.
List.
What is that? That is a perfectly good waste of a pie.
Yeah.
Why would you put protein in a pie? That's not the purpose of a pie.
Oh well.
Well, is it?
No.
You know what? I don't know if you heard. Did you
hear
the
boy? I bet as a 14-year-old, she was just a jewel.
Did you hear the beginning of the Wallace
interview? I am not
interview,
a picky eater.
Where I said to her, Kat, if there's one thing that we don't know about you, what would it be?
You expected a traditional oddity like, oh, I speak ancient Roman.
Something.
You know, Latin is my second language. Yeah. But she talks about a thing in her eye.
Well, I know.
Considering all of this.
First of all, Catherine, that's a little gross. Second of all.
That's not nice.
That's come on. We're just one
X-Men
big family
power.
Here.
I was thinking you made catapult wrenches,
considering
you know, or something like that.
All of the doubters about whether or not I can fix a toaster, wish I had said.
I don't know we had any doubters.
Oh, you've got one here.
One of my proudest moments of my entire life was when I was about 12, and my dad had a classic car, and the carburetor wasn't working. I diagnosed the problem, and I fixed it. And
what
I
was wrong? Jets or
no,
what?
No, the float wouldn't go out. Like, the float was catching on the inside.
Yeah.
And so I traded out the float with a float from another old carburetor, and after that it worked. So
you did that.
I did
and
that.
And the
That's
weirdest thing you could think of was that you have a speck in your eye.
See, we could have had so much more.
And
I'm
when
sorry.
I heard you were fixing that, you were going to fix a toaster.
No,
I'm telling you, call number one was to our workers' comp carrier. Call number two was, please, for God's sakes, turn the power off to the building before you start working on a toaster.
No.
They've got a new one today. Did you see
that's Katie's personal
thing? See, all right, now that bends me off in a whole new direction.
Because we, here on WTAW, I'm sorry, I forgot to put on my radio voice. Here on 1620 WTAW, we didn't get a toaster. On Candy 95, somebody, a listener, a group, brought them a brand new toaster.
Well, what was she whining
and Katie,
about?
And Katie is not going to share it.
What?
It's in there, still in the box, sitting on her side of the desk, and it's not going anywhere.
Well, this isn't a socialized country, right? If it's their toaster, it's their toaster, huh?
Aren't we the only radio station, maybe in America, where the two key women announcers both pack heat? I mean,
you know, yeah.
That's why I'd like to borrow the toaster, but I really can't go in there and demand a toaster, can I?
Every now and again, I'll say to myself, gosh, I feel so much more safe, and then I'll think about it for a minute.
Did you ever try to dial a cell phone with gloves on? Ever had a job site without cell service? And what if you need to get a message to a whole crew at once? The only way to make this happen is with a two-way system from Skyline Communications. Skyline radios have expanded range, tough, durable handsets, and no data charges. Let Skyline show you the cost-effective way to stay in touch. Don't spend money on data or cracked glass on your phones. Call Charles Culver at Skyline Communications, 775-2-WAY. That's 775-2929. Serving business for 33 years.
Looking for a good dentist for your family? It's a real jungle out there, and we're not lying. Come to Safari Dental. It's very important to start healthy habits early, so that's why we have a pediatric dentist on staff at Safari Dental. We also perform root canals and teeth bleaching for adults, accepting most insurances. Corner of Highway 21 and Texas Avenue in Bryan. Call 979-217-2185. Visit mysafaridental.com.
Safari Dental.
Norma G Tractor. Lower prices, larger cash rebates, zero down, and 0% financing on all new Kubota tractors, utility vehicles, and lawn equipment. Norma G Tractor. Check out the new Kubota L3200F, 32-horsepower tractor with 5-foot pasture shredder and a 5-foot box blade, only $12,995. Buy now from Norma G Tractor. Pay cash and get $2,000 in total rebates, paying $10,995 for your new tractor, shredder, and box blade. Or finance with zero down and zero interest for 5 years and still get a $1,000 rebate. With zero down payment, that's $200 per month. Or 10% down, that's payments of only $153 per month. Why buy used when you can buy new with payments as low as these, plus a 3-year warranty? Norma G Tractor, for the largest selection and guaranteed best prices. Trade-ins welcome. Your best deals are at Norma G Tractor, corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norma G, Texas. Visit normangtractor.com. Voted best of the Brazos 10 consecutive years. Remember, nobody beats Norma Tractor.
4 minutes till News Talk 1620 WTAW. This is kind of unusual. Birds observe speed limits on the road. Believe that?
Huh?
No? What? Are you? What? Are you? Got, what?
No,
what? What?
No, no,
what?
No. This is more of that undergraduate research that we apparently get on this really inexpensive show prep service I subscribe to for you.
I'm just saying, national.
Let me guess. Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Stanford, Texas A&M, are the schools that did that study,
National Geographic quotes the study's co-author, who's got a skin condition he's working on, right?
Oh.
No, I don't know that. That what they said is birds obviously can't decipher the... What'd you say?
I don't get that.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, birds can't decipher the numbers on the speed limit signs, we know that. But they have learned to observe our posted limits in their own way. See, this makes no sense.
From where?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I want to see that 70-mile-an-hour swallow out there on the freeway.
It says here, in other words, say researchers, birds appear to have adapted street savviness to survive alongside those strange metal-clad beasts.
Is that why they run into the side of buildings and stuff?
Yeah.
I'll fly into the side of buildings?
I'll remember that next time I'm plucking feathers out of my grill on the car.
Oh.
Did you know that squirrels in the wild live longer than squirrels in the city because those little guys can never, their startle reflex, you know how they run across?
Yeah.
Turn the phones off, people. Yeah. Whichever one of you.
Yeah. It's not me.
It was me. I'm sorry, Mr. Downs. I've disappointed you.
Yeah, well...
Yeah.
they, you know, the startle reflex. You always wonder why they wait
loop,
for you.
She's got that on loop, by the way, about the apology. Okay, yeah.
I also have a loop of Scott saying doo-doo.
Thank you.
So, and what it is, when your car drives by, they startle, they run. Right. That's why they always look like they're trying to outrace, you know, to run across the street, suicide squirrels. And they live shorter lengths of time in the city than they do in the country.
Heart disease from eating so much pizza.
No. We have one little squirrel. Do we want to follow up on this, or shall I just continue? No, let's.
We've already gone down the road at toasters, for heaven's sakes.
We'll leave the pizza for another day.
If you ever go to the Smithsonian, that's what you're going to see.
I've been there. Okay, go ahead.
Squirrels eating pizza. That's what they do outside.
Oh, outside.
Uh-huh. I cannot believe I didn't make that connection.
I'm sure squirrels eat pizza in other places.
We're talking about squirrels and their startle reflex, and I don't know why I didn't immediately jump to the explanation of squirrels eating pizza outside of the Smithsonian.
It's just that odd happenstance, so you don't put those two things together.
I can't believe y'all never noticed squirrels eating pizza anywhere.
I've never seen a squirrel eating pizza anywhere.
And Scott's been around some squirrels.
He's a little bit of a squirrel.
I see squirrels in my backyard. I guess if I threw pizza out there and the dogs didn't eat it, the squirrels would. But I would hardly say that's... Do you think that's the food of choice for a squirrel? I mean, is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I'm just saying that pizza is what they were eating.
Pepperoni?
Uh-huh.
I see.
Cat?
Look up squirrel and pizza on the internet.
You realize this sort of violates the squirrel vegetarian code.
I was going to say, this is anecdotal evidence, honestly.
You know, they're into protein from nuts. And
tell you what, I'm going to write it up. I'm going to call it research. I'm sending it to Scott's show prep service, and this is going to be across America in no time at all.
You're exactly right.
All good undergraduate anecdotal research.
Oh, my God.
The day before the paper's due.
In this date in 1784, Eastern Tennessee declared itself an independent state under the name of Franklin. The step was rejected by the United States Congress. Wish California to do that now.